This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're learning more about the Sutherland Springs church shooter. He killed 26 people on Sunday. He was able to kill so many people because he was heavily armed with a military-style tactical rifle. Some call these assault rifles. He wasn't supposed to have any gun because of his history of domestic abuse while in the Air Force. So what went wrong? What else do we need to know about this shooter and his weapons? We're joined by Alon Stevens. He's an investigative reporter for the Texas Standard. And Alon, welcome to The Source.
Having me on.
So what do we know about how this shooter got these weapons? What went wrong?
So, you know, the first thing that we need to talk about is actually the process of when you buy a weapon from a federally firearms licensed dealer. So when an individual buys a weapon in the state of Texas, you essentially do two things. You fill out a Form 4473, which is a record for the ATF that the gun store holds. You put down personal information there, and then there are a number of disqualifying factors, such as, you know, are you a felon or have you been convicted in any court of a domestic violence offense? And reports are coming out saying that Devin Kelly, he lied on these forms. And then what happens is they take that information when you purchase a weapon and they run it to the FBI's. They have a national instant criminal background check system referred to as NICS. And they take that information and they run it and they do a background check. And for whatever reason, his background check came back clear. And Academy Sports and Outdoors said that, you know, he bought two weapons from them this year and last year. And when they ran him, he was cleared. Now, the problem, though, is that so this national instant criminal background check system, it pulls information from three different databases. It pulls it from the National Criminal Information Center, NCIC, and then it pulls it from the Interstate Identification Index, and then the NICS FBI Index, they have their own database. So it pulls from these three sources. And the Air Force came out and said yesterday in a statement that they had failed to punch his information into one of these databases. So when he went to go and purchase a weapon, they ran the FBI background check, and he came out all clear, and he got the weapon.
Isn't it a crime to lie on these forms?
Yes, it's a federal offense that's punishable up to 10 years. But, you know, there was last year the DOJ's Office of the Inspector General did an audit of the NICS system. And what they found out is that, you know, when all the information is in there, it's about 99% accurate. But they say that one of the critiques in this report was that the U.S. Attorney's Office failed to really prosecute people for lying on these forms. Between 2005 to about 2015, they said they denied about 500,000 people who failed this background check system, but they only seriously considered prosecuting about 250 of these people. So that shows that there's kind of this disconnect possibly with how serious they are about going after people who lied on these forms.
Yeah, that's what makes me wonder. So I wonder if Kelly either knew that he would not be a hit on the 4473, or he knew that there was a low risk chance he could go ahead and lie on this and probably not be face prosecution if it came up that he had lied.
Well, yeah, there are some issues with this. I mean, they said that he bought his first weapon back in 2014, which was after he was, you know, received this bad conduct discharge and received 12 months confinement from the Air Force. You have to imagine that after he purchased that first weapon and everything went through fine, that, you know, you could just go and do it again. But there's also some holes within this National Instant Criminal Background Check system. The Government Accountability Office did a report last year where they talk about the data and how they can try to help improve background checks involving domestic violence records. And one of the things that they brought up was that, you know, these instant criminal background checks are sometimes not always instant, and that, you know, it could take up, you know, to a couple of days. And under federal law, a gun store can actually go ahead and sell if you know, this background check takes longer than 72 hours. And what they found out was that between 2006 and 2015, that about over 6,000 people had walked out of the gun stores with guns, and that background check came back and said, this person has a domestic violence offense. They shouldn't have had this gun. And what happens is they have to refer that to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to go off and do a gun retrieval. And this is something that they've been kind of dealing with. The same report also says that the DOJ has been trying to take some steps with training and using grants to train local and state and, you know, people who are punching in this information into this background check system to try to get them to do it and also to do it frequently to update this system as much as they can. So this is something that has been on the Department of Justice and the FBI's mind when they're doing this background checking system.
You refer to gun stores, but when you go to gun shows, you're also, when you say you want to buy a gun, they hand you that 4473 to fill out. Do they have those same problems?
You know, so one of the things about gun shows is that there are two types of vendors at gun shows. So you have the federally firearms licensed dealers who essentially operate just like a gun store where, you know, they are going to make you fill out this ATF stuff and they're going to make you do this background check to make sure you're cleared. And then you have another set of people there at gun shows who just are doing individual transactions.
Those are the person-to-person sales, which is a skirt around these regulations.
Correct. And this is what is kind of typically referred to as the gun show loophole. These person-to-person sales is typically referred to as kind of the secondary market of weapon transfers. These things are completely unmonitored. There's no paperwork, and that's kind of a way to possibly get around some of these background checks.
Okay, I got 2 minutes left with you, Alon. So I want to ask you, do we know if the weapon that he used, a tactical weapon, was it modified? Did he have a bump stock or anything?
So law enforcement actually just came out and was talking about this. So what we do know is they said about 450 rounds were fired, that they found 15 empty 30-round capacity mags. They say it was semi-auto and that right now there's no evidence that there is a bump stock or any sort of modification on this rifle that was used in this crime.
So explain it to the layman. So that means if it wasn't modified and as a semi-automatic weapon, that means he had to pull the trigger each individual 400 times.
For a semi-automatic, correct, yes. So every time you pull the trigger, that strikes one round, that fires one round with every trigger pull. And, you know, one thing I like to kind of bring up is that we focus on these rifles. But, you know, according to the ATF's tracing reports, the overwhelming majority of weapons that are involved in crimes are actually handguns. When it comes to Texas recoveries of weapons and crimes, the ATF says that about 60% of all the weapons they recover are actually handguns, that rifles are a very small percentage that are used in crimes. The rifles have very powerful rounds, but the handguns have concealability. They're typically more affordable, and they can be maneuvered around more readily. And they're also easy for theft.
All right, couple of real quick questions. Do we know anything about his body armor? Was that illegal, improper?
So yes, you know, some people are saying that, you know, felons cannot possess firearms, cannot possess body armor legally. People say that because he did 12 months confinement, that constitutes as kind of a de facto felony, and he shouldn't have had that body
armor. So we're following up on that as well. The story continues. We'll have the latest information as it becomes available. You're listening to The Source. When we come back, the Affordable Care Act, the number to call in is 210-614-8980. Stay tuned.